the world, Behind the Black, a website kept by Bob Zimmerman following space engineering and space exploration. We begin, however, with the tale of two multi-billionaires, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. Once upon a time, they both had the same idea at the same time to start really cool space engineering companies, Blue Origin and SpaceX. And then, Bob, a very good evening to you. These are competitors. They're looking to build boosters for the future. They're looking to dominate and monetize space exploring, asteroid mining, all kinds of things. What's happened? Good evening.
Good evening, John. There's a third company involved in this, and that's Amazon, which was founded by Jeff Bezos. And he still is a major stockholder, but he doesn't run it anymore. And Amazon is really the key part of this story, having to do with both Blue Origin and SpaceX, because Amazon is trying to put up its own internet constellation of satellites, a competitor to SpaceX's Starlink constellation. It's the same thing as you mentioned with Blue Origin and SpaceX. When SpaceX first proposed Starlink, Amazon, almost at the exact same time, proposed its Kuiper constellation, which would do exactly the same thing, put up several thousand satellites to provide global internet access. So SpaceX is launched something like 5,000 satellites. Amazon, only a few weeks ago, finally successfully launched its first two prototype satellites, too. Now, Amazon has an FCC license to get its constellation into orbit, but that license requires that it puts half of the constellation into orbit by 2026. And the constellation is 3,200 plus satellites, so that means they got to get about 1,600 satellites launched in now just a little over 2 years. And so Amazon, how is it going to get those satellites launched? Well, previously it had signed contracts with ULA, Ariane Space and Blue Origin to launch the satellites. Now, all three of those companies were going to depend on rockets they not yet have launched. And so Amazon was putting its faith on these three companies getting their new rockets launched and operational. Well, Ariane Space and ULA still haven't gotten their rockets launched, but it looks pretty clear that both are going to take off momentarily. At least ULA's Vulcan is scheduled to launch for the first time on December 24th, just a few weeks. And Ariane Space has now scheduled its first launch for July timeframe next year, which is still far away. Blue Origin, we haven't the faintest idea. As with everything with Blue Origin, there's no clear indications. Things are heating up in its rocket facility in Florida, so there does seem indications they might do a launch next year, as they promised, but we can't depend on anything with Blue Origin. Now, having signed with these three fantasy rockets, stockholders at Amazon sued. They said, you are not doing due diligence for your stockholders to the board of directors, because you didn't even consider SpaceX, which is successfully launching tons of stuff. So this is where the story gets interesting. Amazon, though, is putting up is founded by Jeff Bezos and is going to launch a competitive constellation to SpaceX Starlink, has now signed a launch contract with SpaceX to put Kuiper satellites into orbit. It's a three launch contract for launches to take place sometime in 2025. And I think the reason this contract was signed was twofold. One, the board of directors now have weakened the lawsuit against them. They've demonstrated they weren't playing favorites. There wasn't a conflict interest with Jeff Bezos in signing Blue Origin, though that could still be argued. But at least they have now a contract with SpaceX. That's the first reason. The second reason is reality might be biting them. They might be realizing now that the three companies they're depending on that haven't yet launched their rockets might not be able to get the job done. Especially Blue Origin. It's very likely, since the largest contract is with ULA, ULA is most likely going to get those launches off. Ariane Space, it's a more questionable, but they are getting ready to launch their rocket. They've done all their ground testing, pretty much all of it, and so it's just a matter of prepping and doing the launch. Blue Origin hasn't done anything. We really don't know anything. So this is a case where they're trying to save their skin from a lawsuit by signing SpaceX to the contract.
Blue Origin, this is a very bad news story. A program manager, now ex-Blue Origin, has filed a lawsuit against the company He worked on the Blue Origin BE-4, which Bob just spoke of, alleging the whistleblower retaliation after he spoke up about safety issues. Bob, this has to do with management, and it goes right to Bezos, but a man named Bob Smith. Who is Bob Smith?
Bob Smith was the CEO that Jeff Bezos picked in 2017 to take over Blue Origin. And almost to the day Bob Smith took over, the company's productivity ground to a halt. And it wasn't until he was finally removed, he's leaving the company at the end of this year, he's been replaced. I'm getting indications now that the company's finally beginning to take action, do something again. For 5 years, 6 years, they did virtually nothing. It was really a disaster. Did a lot of harm to the company, did a lot of harm to the reputation of the company, it did a lot of harm to ULA, which is depending on that BE-4 engine. Now, this engineer, Craig Stoker, filed this lawsuit because when he was an engineer at Blue Origin, he wanted to tell ULA that the BE-4 engine was likely to be delayed because it was having problems. And according to the lawsuit, he was instructed by Bob Smith not to share this information to ULA, which was a violation of the contract with ULA. And in the lawsuit, it says that Bob Smith was really a problem. He would blow up in anger. He created a hostile work environment. And eventually, he terminated Stoker because Stoker would be pointing these problems out as a safety issue. And so, Smith caused employees, quote, to frequently violate safety procedures and processes in order to meet unreasonable deadlines. So the bottom line is this is a data point suggesting that Bob Smith, yes, was the serious problem that hurt Blue Origin. And what's really, where it comes back to Bezos, is that why did it take Bezos 6 years to realize this? It was pretty evident by 2018 that the company was no longer being productive and things were slowing down. There should have been some questions raised then. They could have really solved a lot of problems and been active right now if he had done something. So Bezos really falls the blame to him,
John. So Bob Smith, it wasn't just that he was slow. It was also that he was deceiving customers and maybe more than that, maybe the board, maybe the stockholders.
It's very possible, but that, you know, this kind of a lawsuit and the fact that so many people were leaving Blue Origin, it was pretty obvious throughout the industry by 2019, that the company was people were fleeing the company because of the management situation. So it was not something that Bezos would have had problems finding out about if he had really wanted to, but he was absent. He was absent without leave. He didn't do it.
We go to a story that Bob loves. This is about losing things. Sometimes you misplace them. In this instance, it's rocket tanks. Who, Bob? How?
Yes, this is not like misplacing your keys when you want to leave the house. The Italian company Avio, it's one of the subcontracts for Ariane Space, European Space Agency's commercial branch. And Avio is one of the subcontracts that builds the two smaller rockets for Ariane Space, the Vega and the Vega C. Now, the Vega C is replacing the Vega, so the Vega only has one more launch to go, which is not now going to happen. We don't know how it's going to be replaced, but the problem is that Avio misplaced two rocket tanks that were to be used on the Vega rocket's last launch. Now, this is not the keys. These are tanks, rocket tanks, you know, big rocket tanks. I mean, it's for the upper stage, which means they're not the biggest tanks, but they're still tanks. Two propellant tanks went missing while they were undergoing renovation work at their production facility. It appears they never put those tanks into the company-wide asset management system, and so they suddenly disappeared. When they finally located the tanks, it appears they had been crushed to salvage the metal in the body of the tank. In other words, someone didn't know what they were, and so this was a salvage material. We're doing renovations. Let's take them, and we'll salvage them. So the tanks don't exist. The production line for the Vega rocket they were going has been shut down because Vega C's replaced it. And so they don't have tanks for this rocket up the stage, which means that rocket launch can't happen. And so they don't know what they're going to do. They're talking about using the test tanks that were used when they first developed the Vega rocket back in 2012. But these tanks have been sitting around for a dozen years. They're not really flight tanks. So this indicates an incompetence that's hard to measure. But, you know, let's go on to the next story, John, which is another example of incompetence impossible to measure.
Bob, what is the doomsday plane?
Yes, this is a plane the Air Force has always maintained that it's designed to survive a nuclear war. And so they've had a plane that they operate, a fleet of them that is designed this way. But the Air Force wants a new upgrade. They want a new plane, and they've been putting out requests for bids. And the two companies that had been bidding, Boeing and Sierra Nevada, were the last two candidates. It appears that by mutual agreement, though, Boeing has dropped out of the competition. The Air Force and Boeing were discussing contract rules, and Boeing said, we're not going to bid on this because you're insisting on a fixed-price contract. Let me quote Brian West, Boeing's chief financial officer, when he was talking to investors in October. Rest assured, we haven't signed any fixed-price development contracts, nor do we intend to. Well, Boeing is basically signing its death warrant because the entire federal government is shifting away from cost-plus contracts. These are contracts that no matter how much the company goes over budget, the government picks up the difference. And so they can go over budget. They can be sloppy, and this is what Boeing's been. You don't have to have a good financial due diligence because you'll get paid more money by the government. And that's how Boeing has always worked. Well, fixed price is what the government's going to, which means you get a contract for a certain amount, and it's your responsibility to get it done, and if you don't get it done, you got to bear the cost, which Boeing, by the way, has been bearing on a number of fixed-price contracts because they can't do the job. And so now Boeing has decided, rather than try to figure out how to do a better job, they're simply not going to do jobs that require them to do better jobs. And so this is them signing their death warrant. They're basically going to be out of the business pretty soon because nobody's going to want to hire them if the company can't even meet a contract.
A detail, Bob. I'm told that in 1993, there were 107 contractors for the Defense Department. The end of the Cold War. There was a meeting, Les Aspin was then the Secretary of Defense, gathering together the chieftains, telling them that you must consolidate. And 107 firms turned into five, called primes. Boeing is one of them. And what happened then was we lost competition, we lost people innovating, they turned into government entities. And that might be the explanation for that cost-plus contract.
Yes, you're absolutely correct, John. I mean, what happened is they did this in the space industry by consolidating Boeing and Lockheed into ULA. One contractor was going to do all the launches, but it resulted in a dead launch industry in the United States, which is why SpaceX came along. What has happened since SpaceX came along is that the military has been forced, and the government has been forced to allow competition once again, and a lot of new companies have come along and are competing for contracts. And that competition is with fixed price contracts because it saves the government money and it creates discipline within the company so they do the job right. So the industry is shifting back to American capitalism in space, capitalism, where you have competition and many different companies. They're going away from the Soviet model, which you just described in the 90s, the United States decided to adopt. And Boeing doesn't want to go back to capitalism space. It doesn't want to go back into free enterprise. It wants to stay in a Soviet system. We know what happened to the Soviet Union, John.
We go to Sutherland, now redesigning to satisfy those famous UK regulators. What do they want, Bob?
Sutherland is one of the two spaceports that are being built in the UK in Scotland. One is on the Shetland Islands. Sutherland is on the very northern coast of Scotland. Sutherland, both hope to launch, do for their first launches this year. Nope, neither is going to do it. We don't know when they're going to do it. Sutherland put in a launch application to the Civil Aviation Authority of the UK back in February of 22. That's almost 2 years ago, and they still don't have a license. Sutherland has now announced that their main customer, Orbex, the new launch company, have made an agreement with local authorities to change the design of their launch pads and the rocket spaceport to reduce its impact on the surrounding environment. Now, we don't know if these changes are going to work, but it's just indicating once again that though the UK has two potential spaceports, Both spaceports are being stymied aggressively by regulation, and it just leaves an opportunity for other spaceports to step in and get the business instead. And this is an example of that. I'm not sure when Sutherland's going to be able to launch, just like I'm not sure when Saxaport's going to launch. They just simply are sitting and are blocked. The work's been slowed down, definitely, on both spaceports, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.